Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. It says this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the word gospel means good news. That's why I said it that way. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus. Now, the good news is that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we've got a few fresh faces, and I guess I need to do this right quick. All right, Matt, I'm going to let you do this. Would you take these cards and hand them to anybody? If you have not been here since we've been talking about this, and you've not been given one of these cards, hold up your hand. Everybody needs one of these white blank cards. Victor needs one. He's right over there on the corner. If you need a white card, please hold up your hand. Rex will make sure... Rex. Matt will make sure you got one. All right. To make sure we're on the same page, since we've got a couple of fresh faces, we'll do it this way. We'll tie a short summary. This book is about good news. I'm convinced it's the best kind of news, that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we've looked at Mark, we've read through it, we've talked about Jesus' miracles, we've talked about His compassion and the way He cares for other people. We have seen all of that, and we've come to understand that when nobody else can help you, Jesus can. When nobody else can love you, Jesus can. And when nobody else can save you, Jesus can. So when you get down to it, what really matters is, doesn't matter how many friends you have, does not matter, I promise, it does not matter how many Facebook friends you've got, does not matter how many degrees you've got, does not matter how many dollars you've got, what matters is, has Jesus saved you? And with all the talk going on right now about the end of the world coming up, and it's so prevalent, folks, it's being talked about so much. It is being talked about so much that governments are now coming out and saying, we guarantee it's not going to be the end of the world. Now, folks, do you really think they know? You really think they can guarantee that? But I thought it was interesting, and I'm making no accusations, none at all, casting no aspersions. But even the Vatican came out to guarantee that this was not the end of the world. Well, I'm sorry, with all due respect, our Father said no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man. So the point is, I can't tell you, oh, it's not going to be that day. Nobody can. It could very well be 12/21/12 when the world ends. And there's all kinds of talk at home about that, at work about that, at school about that. I like the fact that people are thinking, what do I need to do to get ready? That's what this moment is for. It's for us to discuss, how do you get your sins forgiven? How do you get saved? How do you get a brand new life? Well, the only way I know to answer that question and be honest about it is to let Jesus answer it. Because He's the one that's the Savior. Now, listen, you listen to folks on the radio, you watch folks on the TV. You even go to churches here in town, and there will be all kinds of fellas dressed in all kinds of ways, talking all kinds of accents, and they will tell you different ways to be saved. Let's just make it simple. When does Jesus say a person's going to be saved? Isn't that what you'd want to know? When does Jesus say a person will get their sins forgiven? Isn't that what you want to know? When does Jesus say a person gets a new life? Isn't that what you want to know? It's not about what your grandmother said, though I love your grandmother. It's not about what your preacher or your priest or your rabbi or your pastor said, with all due respect. It's not even honest. It's not even about how you feel. I hear people say it all the time. I prayed, and therefore I felt like I was saved. I understand that. I understand that. I've been in that experience before, and I'm telling you now, that's not even how you know you're saved. You don't know you're saved. You can't know you're saved until Jesus says you're saved. Now, would you agree with that? I think that would make sense, right? So here's what I want you to do. For those of you who haven't been here before, I need you just real quickly to take your little card. Make you a little goalpost thing. And I'm going to do this quick. And if I don't want to rush you, but there are going to be people sitting in this room that I'm going to ask, when were you saved? And they're going to say it. I've got a card up here, or had a card. It's gone now. Somebody snatched it. But a card up here that when somebody said they had never been saved, and they had put an X on it. So if you've never been saved, if you've never had that experience where you thought you were saved, put an X. But if you have had that experience where you felt like you were saved, somewhere on that timeline of your life, from birth to 12, 21, 12, put an S that represents saved. Now, how old were you? Write down the age. Write down about the time that it happened. Now, you don't have to know exactly. I was 12 years old and 2 months. I was 33 years old and 3 hours. I'm not asking for that. Just general time frame. When were you saved? Because what's more important than that, when you thought you were saved, is what you were doing. Now, what I'm going to tell you is I'm going to tell you actual things. People have actually told me. I'm not making it up. It's not theory. When were you saved? I'll tell you about a lady who told me she was saved when she was 12 years old. I said, what were you doing? And she said, I was sitting on a milking bucket and lightning struck the milking bucket and I jumped up and ran into the house singing Amazing Grace. And my mama said, you must have got saved. And she said, I know I did. So I write it down there. If you were sitting on a milking bucket and you were utterly shocked when the lightning hit you. I love that. I'd love that joke. Okay. But this is a true story. If that was you, your experience, and that's what caused you to believe you were saved, write it down. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you've had that salvation experience, if you feel like you've been saved, most of the time, 9 times out of 4, in fact, you will have experienced some kind of religious practice called baptism. Now, sometimes it's called christening. Sometimes it's called baptism. Sometimes it's called immersion. Sometimes it's called sprinkling. What I want to know is, if you were saved, when were you saved? What were you doing? And then, when did you experience that ceremony, that rite? Some churches will call it sacrament of baptism. Now, here's what I've heard. In my lifetime, here's what I've heard. When were you saved? I saved when I was 12 years old. Well, what were you doing? It was in First Communion. I'm not talking about any particular church. I'm just telling you what I heard from people. They said I was at First Communion. I said, well, when were you baptized? And they said, I was baptized when I was a baby. If that's your experience, write it down. Now, I asked to clarify. I said, now, what do you mean when you were baptized? Did they sprinkle water on you, pour water on you? And every time, I'm not lying, every time folks that have had this experience have told me, they sprinkled me or they poured water on my head. Okay? Now, once you answer that question, answer why. Why did they do that? Okay, now you tell me your answer. I'm not going to give you your answer. You know your answer, not me. But I can tell you what I've heard most of the time from the friends I've had that have had that experience. When I've asked them, why were you sprinkled? Their answer was, for the most part, I don't know. Which would make sense. Why? Because they were babies. In fact, the only way they know they were sprinkled is somebody told them, or they watched some other kid do it years later, right? So I ask them, why were you sprinkled? And they would say, I don't know. Now, if you know, write your answer down. But then my last question, and it's something important to write down, were you sprinkled in order to be saved? Were you sprinkled to have your sins forgiven? Were you sprinkled to get a new life? You answer the question. Don't ask your priest, don't ask your rabbi, don't ask your priest or your pastor, don't ask your preacher, don't ask your grandmother either. What you do is answer from your own experience, were you baptized, were you sprinkled so you could be saved? Now, if your experience is like this, and the person that told me this, what would they have to say? What would they, of course, what would they say? if they believed they were saved here, were they sprinkled in order to be saved?
No,
because it didn't take place until here, right? Okay, so if that's the case, write down on your paper, not to be saved. Okay, got it? All right, now let's do it again, because there's another example. When were you saved? Now, if none of these fits your experience, this one will, or will come close to it. When were you saved? I was saved when I was 12 years old. I'm telling you what I heard somebody say, an actual story. What were you doing? I was attending a revival. I was attending a revival, and the preacher came to the end of his sermon, and he said, "Any of you want to be saved, raise your hand and pray with me." And she said, "I raised my hand and prayed to receive Jesus into my heart." Okay? So just write down what you did, right? Now, when were you baptized? Now, this girl told me, she said, "Oh, there was a group of us that were saved that night." That's the way she said it. We were saved that night. And about 6 weeks later, we were baptized. And I made sure I understood. I said, "Now, when you say baptized, were you sprinkled? Did they pour water?" "No, they dipped us under the water." Okay? So, she was baptized 6 weeks later. Now, I asked why. Why did they baptize you? Her answer was, "I wanted to join the church. I wanted to join that church." Now, sometimes I've heard other answers. Sometimes I've heard, "I wanted to follow the example of Jesus." And real old timey folks will say something like, "I wanted an outward sign of an inward grace." I doubt if anybody in here is old enough to have remembered that saying except John and me, right? But some, that's what you heard a bunch. You used to hear it all the time. There you go. Rick's getting close, you know. All right, you see it? Now, one more question. Do you remember what it is? What's the last question I'm going to ask on this? Were you baptized so you could be saved? Now, what does this person who had this experience, what would their answer reasonably be? No, because they believed they were saved here and baptized. So you write down, it was not to be saved. Okay, now, it is in this room, it is possible that there are people that have every one of these experiences. Right, there's one other experience that I want to show you from the Bible, so we'll just leave these. I want you, if you've got your card finished, I'm going to erase these and we're going to move on. All right. Now, over the last few weeks, we've looked at several verses. We're going to do that again to make sure we've understood it. And then what we'll do, if God gives us next week, we'll have a quick review, and then I'm going to let you ask me a jillion questions. I'm going to let you ask me all kinds of questions about, well, what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this, and what about this, okay? All right, here we go. Look in Mark chapter 16. You're in the Gospel of Mark right now. Look in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I want you to look at verse 16. Now, when I give you one specific verse, I'm not trying to keep you from reading anything above it or below it. You read all of it above and read all of it below. But for the sake of our time and keeping us focused, I'm going to pick the one verse or the couple of verses that focus on this particular issue. When does Jesus say, when does Jesus say a person will be saved? Now, I'm not going to answer. I want you to answer, but I want you to answer letting Jesus answer. When does Jesus say that a person will be saved? And your answer would be, his answer would be what? When he believes and is baptized. Okay, now, we're not going to spend the same amount of time we did before on it. This is just review. But does a person have to believe in Jesus? Does a person have to believe in Jesus? Yes, they do. Now, we've studied it before, but in case you forgot, you might want to mark off to the side John 8:24 that says, if you don't believe that Jesus is He, you will die in your sins. It's important to believe. But you don't have to go to anywhere else. You can stay right there and mark. Look what He says happens if you don't believe. You read what Jesus says about that question. Do you have to believe Jesus? And what would Jesus say? He said, if you do not believe, you'll be condemned. So do you have to believe?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So if a person does exactly what Jesus says, if a person believes in Jesus and is baptized, what does Jesus promise will happen? They will be saved. Right? All right. Now, turn over a couple of books. Go through Mark, Luke, John. Go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 38. Again, when you get a chance, read all the verses above, all the verses below. But for the sake of our discussion, we've got to focus on verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. When does Jesus say that a person will be forgiven of their sins? When does Jesus say that a person will be forgiven of their sins?
When they repent.
When they repent. I'm waiting for you to answer from Jesus. When they repent and are baptized. Now look right quick, just for fun. Tell me why He wants them to be baptized. He will tell you if you'll look. Why does He want them to be baptized? For the forgiveness of sins. Okay, let me ask you. Does He have to repent?
Yes.
Does He have to repent?
Yes.
Yes, He has to repent. You know that. You can't go to heaven hating God. So you got to change your mind. You got to turn your life around. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to turn my life around. Now, we're going to struggle with doing that, but you got to make up your mind, I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm going to try to quit that foolishness. I'm going to try and follow Jesus. I'm going to repent. Okay? Now, if a person repents of their sins and is baptized, what does Jesus promise will happen? Read it right from the Bible. Read it right from Jesus. Do not give me your words. Give me His. If a person repents and is baptized, what will happen? They'll be forgiven of their sins and they'll receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Let's go to the book. Stay in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. I want you to look at verse 16. Last week we looked at the whole story of the Apostle Paul. Before he was Paul and everybody knew him as Saul, he was killing Christians. And even though he was zealous for God, he was not saved. And then he saw Jesus and confessed Jesus to be his Lord. And even then he wasn't forgiven of his sins. Look in Acts 22, verse 16, and tell me, when does Jesus say that he will wash away someone's sins? When does Jesus say that He will wash away sins? All right, from God's Word, He said when He is baptized. All right. Turn to the next book in the Bible. Book of Romans. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Got it? Take your time. We're not going to rush. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Answer the question from the Word of God. Answer the question from the words that Jesus taught. When does Jesus say a person will get a brand new life? When does Jesus say a person will get a brand new life? All right, when we're baptized, in fact, notice what he says. When we're buried with him through baptism, we're baptized into his death so that we can be raised with him into that new life. So when does, if a person believes in Jesus, if a person repents of their sins, if a person is buried with Jesus in baptism and raised, what does God, what does Jesus promise him? He will be saved, he'll be forgiven, have his sins washed away, and new life. And I was just repeating what you said so the folks listening on podcast could hear it. All right, now turn. You're going through Romans, you're going to go through 1 Corinthians, you're going to go through 2 Corinthians. You're going to get to a place called Galatians. It's a little bitty short letter, so don't go fast. You're going to go through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and you're going to get to Galatians. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Got it? Now I'm going to change my question for a second just to make sure we're paying attention. Who is it that saves us? It's not hard. Who is it that saves us? Jesus does. What did he do so we could be saved? He died on the cross for us. How does he save us? He saved us by the resurrection. He saved us by shedding his blood on the cross. You just about can't hardly miss that one, because anything Jesus did to save us was how he saved us, right? Why did he do it? Because he loved us. And? He wanted to give us eternal life. And?
He loved us more than himself.
He loved us more than himself. And? You're all right. Those are all right answers. We needed it. We couldn't do it ourselves, right? That's why he did it. So the question is when? So go to Galatians 3, 26 and 27 and tell me, how does a person become a child of God? Verse 26, how does a person become a child of God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 27 and tell me when. When does a person become a child of God by faith? Look right in the verse. When does Jesus say that a person becomes a son of God, a child of God, by faith? When you, with your faith, you are what? Baptized into Christ. I'm just repeating what you're reading from Jesus. So if a person really believes in Jesus and they are baptized into Christ, what does Jesus promise will happen? No, from the verse. They will become what? They become a child of God. All right, now the reason I left these on the board is so you can see them. So we're going to review them, because I got to erase one. I got to erase that top one because we got a couple more places to look. So when does Jesus say that a person will be saved? When he believes and is baptized, he'll be saved. When does Jesus say a person will be forgiven of their sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? When they repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. When does Jesus say a person will have their sins washed away? When they're baptized. When does Jesus say a person receives a new life? Buried with Jesus in baptism and raised with Jesus. All right. And when does Jesus say a person becomes a child of God by faith? When he's baptized into Christ. That's when he puts on Christ. All right. Did we say anything that Jesus didn't say? Because that's really important. What you've just read, what you've just agreed to, is different than what most of the religious world believes. They will say, I gave my life to Jesus. And they'll use that to talk about their salvation. And I like the fact that people give their lives to Jesus. But we're not talking about giving our lives to Jesus. We're talking about Jesus giving His life to us. That's the new life. We're talking about being saved. Now, if I'm going to be saved, do I have to believe? Do I have to repent? Yes, I do. Okay, now I'm going to erase the top one. It's not because it's not true. It's just because I've got to have room. All right, I want you to keep going. I want you to go Galatians, Ephesians, little bitty book, little bitty letter, Ephesians, Philippians, that's even a smaller letter. And I want you to look at Colossians. I want you to look at Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. Okay, now we're going to take a little bit of time here because most of us in this room didn't grow up studying the Bible. Most of us didn't grow up reading our Bibles and going to Bible class and learning all the Old Testament stories and all the New Testament stories. He's going to mention circumcision. In Colossians 2, 11 and 12, he's going to talk about circumcision. Now, we're all grown up, folks, so we know what circumcision is. It's a cutting off of a piece of a skin on a male child. Now, circumcision is the cutting off, the circumcision that you read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, was a cutting off of a piece of skin. But in Colossians 2, he said there is a circumcision that's not done by the hands of men, but it's circumcision that's done by Christ. What is that cutting off? It's cutting off the sinful nature. So, ask Jesus, when will you cut off my sin? When does Jesus promise, when does Jesus say that He will cut off a person's sins? Now, stay with me. He said there's a circumcision that's a cutting off of skin. He said, I'm not talking about that circumcision that was made with hands. I'm talking about a circumcision that's done by Christ that's the cutting off of sin. So when does that take place? Now this is important. Look at Colossians 2, verse 12. And when does that take place? Now, yeah, read the whole verse. When you are buried in baptism and raised. Now, I need you to pay close attention to this last part. Raised with what? Raised with what? With faith in what? In the power of God. Now, some of your Bibles will say faith in the working of God. Some even older Bibles will say faith in the operation of God. What is the work, what is the operation that's taking place in this verse? It's the cutting off of sin. That's the operation. It's the circumcision of Christ. It's the cutting off of sin. All right? So do I have to have my faith in Jesus to cut off my sins? Yes or no? Yes, because that's when Jesus says it'll happen. It's when I'm buried with Jesus in baptism and raised with, what did it say? What did Jesus say? With faith in the power of God, the working of God, the operation of God. In other words, my faith has got to be in God's work to cut off my sins. All right, got one more verse. You've done well. You focused. This is not easy, I know. Now, this one's going to be a while. We're going to turn toward the back of the Bible. Start going. You're going to go through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Now you got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Now, if you get to the maps, you've gone too far. All right, so go, just like I said, through those books, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3 verse 21. Now, I want you to notice he's discussing something that took place in the Old Testament. So for those of you who haven't studied the Old Testament, let me tell you a story. There was a time in the world when it was so wicked, God said, "I'm done with you. I'm going to send a flood and drown all of you." But there was a man named Noah that found favor with the in the eyes of God, and he and his family, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Now, you math majors, tell me how many that is. Eight. There are eight folks in that boat. They built a boat. Took them about 120 years. They gathered up all those animals. They put them in the ark, and it started raining 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I want you to look and tell me, what was it? Look right in the Bible. Don't tell me what some preacher told you. Don't tell me what some your grandmothers believed. I want to know what Jesus teaches. What was it that saved Noah?
Faith.
Faith saved Noah, but not in that verse. You're right. There is a verse that says that, but it's not there. Look at 1 Peter 3:21. What was it that saved Noah and his family?
Water.
Water saved. Now, hang on. How did water save Noah? Yeah, I've heard people say it floated his boat. That's good. But really what it did was it washed... What was it that caused the world to get in trouble in the first place?
Sin.
So what did the water do? It washed all the sin off the earth, right? And that water, the flood, symbolizes what? Now, don't turn it around. Don't go backwards. Don't say the baptism symbolizes it. It's the flood that symbolizes what?
Baptism.
Because what does baptism do? Now, you understand, it's Jesus who does it. But when does Jesus say a person will be saved? It is baptism. You said it. I'm just repeating what you said. Baptism saves us. Now, is it the water washing the sin off my body or the dirt off my body? No. But it is an appeal to God for a clean conscience. You hear people say it all the time. Pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Do you know there's no place in the Bible that says that? There's no place in the Bible that says that. But it does say that when I put my faith in Jesus who was raised from the dead, stay right in 1 Peter 3, when I put my faith in Jesus who was raised from the dead and I'm baptized, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm appealing to God for what? I'm begging God to give me that clean conscience. What is God doing? What is God doing? From the verse. What is God doing? He's saving us. Alright, you see how it all fits together? Now, let's walk through it again, and then we're going to tie a knot. And if you've got a question tonight, you can ask it. When does Jesus say? Now, I want you to go, remember, you've got them all right there in front of you, so we're going to go in order. When does Jesus say a person will be saved? When does Jesus say a person will be forgiven of sins? When does Jesus say a person gets a brand new... when does Jesus say a person gets his sin washed away? And I'm just listening to you. I need to repeat them. First one was when he believes and is baptized. Second one was when he repents and is baptized. This third one was when he arises and is baptized and washes away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then when does he get a new life? When he's buried with Jesus in baptism, raised, right? And when does Jesus say a person becomes a child of God by faith? When they have faith in Him and are baptized. When does Jesus say a person will have their sins cut off? When they are baptized into Christ and raised with faith in the power, the working, the operation of God. And when does Jesus say that a person will be saved and receive that clean conscience? When he's baptized. All right, now, I didn't say any of those things. And the truth is, some of you blurted out some answers, and what did we do every time you blurted out an answer that wasn't exactly what Jesus was saying? What did we do? I said, no, you go right back there and tell me what Jesus said, because that's the only answer I'm interested in, right? Now, here's why this is important. Well, it's Jesus telling us when we can be saved. That's what's important. But I need to show you. And I apologize for this board and my lack of ability to erase. Now, I'm just going to ask questions. You do not feel like you have to answer out loud. In fact, I'd prefer that you not answer out loud. Because there are people sitting in this room, that this will, for them, be hard to hear, but it'll be the best news they ever heard. Right? There are people sitting in this room that would say, I've never been saved. What's the good news for them? The good news is that Jesus can save them. Right? That's the good news, right? There are people sitting in this room that will say they were saved. Well, I was saved when I was 12 years old, sitting on that milking bucket. Okay? But they've never had any kind of baptism experience, so let me... And you don't have to answer out loud. Now, if this is your experience, feel free to answer out loud, because you're among friends. In fact, there are people sitting in the room that had this experience and they later learned about it and we talked and they learned something better. They learned better. And so they did something about it. Is it possible for a person to be saved without being baptized? When does Jesus say a person is saved? When he believes and repents and is baptized. So is it possible for a person to be saved and not to have done what Jesus said to do? No. Now, can they feel saved? Yes. Can somebody very religious and talk with a deep voice and quote Greek, can that person convince them that they're saved? Does it? They do it all the time. When does Jesus say that that person will be saved? When they take that faith they have in Jesus and they take that repentance they have toward Jesus and they are baptized. All right, so is this possible? No. All right. Well, then there are people in this room, and I know them. There are people in this room, and some of them had this experience. When were you saved? I saved when I was 12. What were you doing? I was taking First Communion. Well, when were you baptized? Well, I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Remember that? You remember that example? And if this is your example, I know this is going too fast. Talk to me. Let's sit down and look at it, okay? Is it possible to have been sprinkled here but saved here? Is that possible? Is that what Jesus says? Let me ask this person, why were they baptized? Why were they sprinkled? Sorry?
Because they were told to.
They were told to? Or they don't remember? Let me ask you. Did this person, and if this is your experience, please don't answer unless it's your experience. If it's your experience, feel free to answer. Now, some of you have had this experience, and so it's okay. You're allowed to answer. Did you believe when you were a baby? No, you don't remember, do you? Did you repent? Yeah, you didn't have anything to repent of, and you didn't know what repent was. Pacifier was the big deal in your life at that point, right? And mama. So, is this baptism the baptism that Jesus commands? Now, this is important. Is this baptism, is this sprinkling, is this the baptism that Jesus commands? No. So, is this possible? Now, don't answer unless it's your experience. If you've got a question, and if it's your old heart's starting to pound, and your hands are getting, palms are sweaty, and your heart's kind of right, I understand. This would scare me to death, too. Let's talk. Do not leave this room without us having a chance just to talk a little bit, okay? But if this isn't possible, if this isn't possible, were your sins really forgiven? Not only if you had this experience, answer this question. But if it's not possible that your sins are forgiven, that means your sins aren't forgiven. And if your sins aren't forgiven, do you want them to be forgiven?
Yeah.
Well, shoot, yeah, you want them forgiven. That's why you did that the first time. But what happened was somebody taught you something that was not what Jesus taught. Was it your fault? You was a little bitty kid. You was a baby. You didn't have any choice in this matter. And these people, you grew up this way and you didn't know any better. You didn't know to look in the Bible. You didn't know to read. Now you've had a chance to see what Jesus says. Now you get a chance to fix it. But at this point, if that's not possible, were your sins forgiven? Only if it was your experience. Answer. Okay. One more, then I'll hush. I was saved when I was 12 years old. What were you doing? I was at a revival, Christian camp, whatever. Raised my hand, received Jesus into my heart. They led me to the Lord. I hear that all the time. I was led to the Lord. Well, when were you baptized? Oh, I was baptized about 6 weeks later. I don't care. 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 minutes. Just, was there a difference? Well, why were you baptized? And the person said, and they're being honest, this person told me they were baptized to join the church. They were baptized to follow Jesus. Okay. Where did they learn that, by the way? Where did they learn to be baptized to join the church? They learned from people who were members of that church, right? Where did they learn? Well, you know the example. So I asked them to go. If a person believes they were saved here and they were baptized here, were they baptized in order to be saved?
No.
And so they have to, and you wrote it down, I bet. I hope you did, if it's true. Not, it was not to be saved. So let me ask you, is this possible? Is it possible to be saved here and baptized here?
No.
Now, real quick, only listen to Jesus. And only if this is your experience. When does Jesus say that a person will be saved? When he believes in Jesus, repents of his sins, and is baptized. Who said that?
Jesus
said that. So is this possible? Is this possible? Is it possible to be saved here and baptized here? Only if it's your experience, answer. Because you need to think through this. This is not easy. Because all your life they taught you this. So why does Jesus want us to be baptized? Do you remember? Why does Jesus want us to be baptized? When it was your experience. To be forgiven for the forgiveness of sins. So since you weren't baptized to be forgiven, you weren't baptized to be saved, and only answer this question if it's your experience. Because there are people sitting in this room that had this experience. Were you baptized with the baptism that Jesus commands? If you were baptized after you thought you were saved, if you were baptized and it wasn't to be saved, were you baptized with the baptism Jesus commands? Now, folks, if you answer no, if in your heart you know, I wasn't baptized with the baptism Jesus commands, Now don't go to thinking, well, I felt like it. We're not talking about your feelings right now. We're talking about what Jesus taught. If you weren't baptized with the baptism Jesus commands, were your sins forgiven?
No.
Were you saved? And if you weren't, don't you want to be? Well, yeah. That's why I did that praying in the first place. So did you do something wrong right here?
No.
No, you didn't do anything wrong. You were wanting to be saved. You were giving your life to Jesus. What somebody forgot to tell you was when Jesus gives you His life. Do you remember what He said? Do you remember what... There it is right there. The person who is baptized must have faith what? In the power of Jesus to cut off my sins. So if you believed you were saved before you were baptized, when you were baptized, you were not baptized trusting or having faith in what God was doing to cut off your sins, because you already thought it took place. So were you baptized with the baptism Jesus commands? You just got to be honest about that. I mean, I can't. It's up to you. But if you weren't baptized with the baptism Jesus commands, were your sins forgiven? And if they weren't forgiven, do you want them to be forgiven? And the absolute last question I'll ask you before we pray. If you want them forgiven, when do you want them forgiven? It's up to you to answer that question. I'm just going to say this. I've sat with a lot of my friends. We've sat, and I've walked through this with them, and it wasn't my words. I was just letting them read what Jesus had to say. This doesn't represent any particular view of any particular denomination, doesn't represent any particular view of any man-made church. We're just talking about what Jesus said. And since Jesus said it, that settles it, right? So, if your experience is different than what you've heard Jesus say tonight, if your experience is different than what Jesus commands, and if the people taught you something different, and I'm not blaming them, I'm just telling you, I don't want to be mean to you. I don't want to be mean to them. I just want us to listen to Jesus. So please, if this doesn't match what your experience is, don't leave. Please don't leave tonight until you at least run by here and holler at me a second and say, man, let's sit down and talk about this. Because this is the most important subject. This is the most important topic in the whole Bible. And I promise, I won't tell you what I think, and I won't tell you what I feel, and I won't tell you what my mother and my daddy and my pastor told me. We'll just read what Jesus says. Okay? And then if there's questions, if you got more questions and I can't answer them, and Jesus can't answer them tonight, then we'll set up some time to meet and talk about it. And next Wednesday night, we'll eat supper one more time. If God gives us next week, we'll eat supper one more time, and we will ask again to let Jesus teach us about when He'll save us. All right? Let's pray. Father, thanks for tonight, for these folks. They were very patient walking through these verses, and they were very attentive. God, we want to be saved. We want our sins forgiven. We want to have a new life. We want to have a chance to have our sins washed away. We want to be Your children. God, there are people sitting in this room that weren't taught what Jesus taught. There's some people sitting in this room right now, and in their heart, in their gut, they know they weren't taught what Jesus taught. And God, we're not blaming anybody. We're not after anybody. We want to be saved. We want our sins forgiven. So please, God, open their hearts. Give us time. Give us all time to seek Your will, to obey Your words, receive Your promises. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, folks.